Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome into another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. Pete Sweeney here with Steven Cirta. And it's better news in Kansas City today as the Chiefs get a big-time win riding the ship in Philadelphia by a score of 42-30. And I think the first person we've got to talk about in this game, aside from Andy Reid getting his 100th win with the Chiefs against the team he had 100 wins against, or he had 100 wins for in the Eagles. I think the first person you got to talk about is Patrick Mahomes. Usually when the Chiefs win, we're talking about Mahomes, but he had this mishap in this game where I thought it was a ball that he forced, an interception, and it was shaky, I think, for a little bit there. And then the Chiefs' offense just exploded after that. After that, you had a long touchdown drive that ended up in a rushing touchdown. Mahomes on the day ends up with 5 touchdowns, the 1 pick, the 278 yards, 131 passer rating. And really, this was a Tyreek Hill takeover day. We see different Chiefs step up when it comes to skill position players. It typically is Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. The Eagles had a plan for Travis Kelce. They did not have a good plan for Tyreek Hill, who finishes with 11 receptions, 186 yards, and the 3 touchdowns. Steve, as you watched this game, what is your grand takeaway?
Well, it's nice to see the Chiefs offense be efficient, right? And yeah, they just had the one turnover from Patrick Mahomes where he was forcing it a little bit. And I almost felt like there was even times where he was being a little tentative in this game, where he was looking downfield, maybe extending a little bit too long because he didn't want to throw it downfield when nobody was open and have a bad turnover like we saw last week. And so that's a sign of progress that you want to see from this Chiefs defense or offense, because obviously we want to see them go nuts and score 42 points and have the long touchdowns and Tyreek Hill go crazy, but they can't turn the football over. And so a performance like this, where they didn't really turn the football over aside from that one play, put up 42 points, and the defense actually got a couple of red zone stops and even a fourth down stop, you got to be pretty happy about it. There's still lots of reasons to be concerned about the defense, but you should feel pretty good about this win.
Yeah, this is how I feel. And I know, like, what really stuck out after last game was Anthony Hitchens and him getting to the microphone and simply saying, we don't care if we give up 31 points or 24 points or whatever, so long as our offense scores more points. So in the room, I think they're going to be very happy regardless of how the defense looked. This was my first line of my rapid reaction. I think coming into the game, the Chiefs had been categorized by this and characterized by this, and it's that the offense needs to be incredibly efficient. And if it is not, the Chiefs could give up too many points and end up losing the game. And that's just the season, and that's where we're at. And I don't think Sunday's game, despite them winning and coming out on the winning end, really changed that all that much. I think the offense is still needing to be efficient. I know that there was a garbage touchdown at the end there to get the Eagles to 30 points, but early in this game, those miscommunications and missed tackles were rearing their ugly heads. And you have a Philadelphia Eagles team that right now is in some type of rebuilding mode. This is not a team that is considered to be a Super Bowl contender. And I think that's what Kansas City is now. It's Super Bowl or bust. And so I think you got to be thrilled. Like, you should be so happy that you got the victory, because we have seen these back-to-back losses, and you could not have another loss in a row, especially to a team like the Eagles. But it didn't really make me feel better about the Chiefs getting back to that championship caliber level, because obviously the offense is there, but when you're playing a team like the Buffalo Bills and you'll get them next week, and some of these other AFC contenders, this defense is not good enough right now to get you to the Super Bowl. It just is not. And I think that's, like I said, I think you should be happy, but that's kind of my takeaway right now, is that you're going to have to see significant improvement. Fortunately, it's only week 4.
Yeah, it wasn't flawless. It certainly wasn't flawless. And like I already mentioned, the defense is leaving a lot on the table. The tackling's still a problem. I contend that they're the worst tackling defense in football right now, and we saw that early on affecting the game. I don't really know how you fix that when you just don't have a ton of athleticism at the second level right now. Maybe it really is just Willie Gay coming in and his athleticism being that thing that can move sideline to sideline, and it changes the way the defense looks. But yeah, it's a problem. And I've been pushing back on the idea that this is the 2018 defense that is going to hold the Chiefs back this season. But that Eagles offense has really struggled to start the season, and they were moving the ball pretty easily against the Chiefs. And, you know, the Chiefs offense wound up being too overwhelming for their defense, but they still put up 30 points, and you caught some breaks from the Eagles too with some bad penalties. So yeah, you should absolutely be concerned.
I've seen a couple of the 2018 takes on Twitter, and I just have to remind people that defense was so bad. I mean,
there's more talent on this one.
This defense feels like it's fixable, especially if you can get Frank Clark back. Charvarius Ward, I think, is a more important injury. We never talk about Charvarius Ward because he's really never consistently getting beat, but that's like the ideal cornerback, not necessarily Jalen Ramsey. He's going to have an interception every other week, but he is a solid cornerback with this team, and I think the Chiefs are missing him to an extent. And I also think, like, you get Willie Gay back, you tackle a little bit better. I mean, there weren't really many significant changes when the Chiefs were able to turn it around in the 2019 season, and really just adding Mike Pennell to the mix. And it just was more of a shift in attitude. And I still sense that about this Chiefs defense. You can fix your attitude and you could fix miscommunication. The fact that we've seen all these weeks with miscommunication, and at a certain point in this game, you have Chris Jones and he's like begging for a timeout early in the game. And now you've also put that a little bit on film. You know, you are sort of what you put on film, and you could tell that the Eagles were taking advantage of those miscommunications. They were making a point of it to get to the line as quickly as possible early in this game to catch the Chiefs off guard. And I thought for a quarter and a half, two quarters, you know, you get to halftime, this was a team that was playing with the Chiefs. And if a few things maybe went a little bit differently, especially after the Patrick Mahomes interception in the second half, I think it's a much closer game than it wound up being from a score wise. But the idea is also starting to be floated out there that perhaps Chris Jones should be moved back to more of a primary defensive tackle position. And I can't say that I necessarily disagree, but here's where I would push back. I just don't know what you do at the edge position then, because Alex Okafor at this stage, it doesn't seem like a viable option. Mike Danner really is the only one that provides upside. Frank Clark, you could assume, could be an edge guy when you put Chris Jones back in the interior, but then I'm thinking, like, can we even really rely on him to be on the field at this point? I don't know if you can. You know, he was ruled out for this game on Saturday, and so I think the defense is fixable. I know that this Chris Jones conversation is going to come up, and I'm eager to see where it goes throughout the week. I am going to be very curious to see Steve Spagnuolo's words on Thursday.
Yeah, I've mentioned it multiple times now. This defense just can't be the worst defense in the NFL. Like, it's okay if they're like 22. Like, I'll even take that. I think I said 17 earlier this week on one of our Arrowhead Pride podcasts.
Well, it's because of the offense, dude. Yeah. And that's why you're correct.
And yeah, it's because even when they make mistakes, this offense can do that. And, you know, I think the attitude around the offense had changed a little bit after what happened last week, where this game, you felt like the Chiefs probably had it in the bag. They were the more talented football team than the Philadelphia Eagles. But it still kind of took some late, you know, big plays, Tyreek Hill going absolutely nuts, for you to be like, okay, I feel good about this now because I have no confidence in the defense getting a stop. And maybe Frank Clark can do that if he comes back and he is healthy. He hasn't contributed this season. And you basically have to hope that if you move Chris Jones back inside full time and you get a healthy Frank Clark back, that pressure Chris Jones can create from that spot hopefully is just going to lead to other guys contributing, because it's not working with him on the edge.
Well, it's just all about the offense. I mean, you're just going to live and die by the offense at this point until the defense can prove that they could win you a football game. And like the Chiefs, if their offense was just deficient, they would have ended up winning against the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, you were setting yourself up for a kick and it was just a fumble away. And then you had the four turnovers, the two picks and the two fumbles against the Chargers. If one or two of them you could have back, then you win that game too, and you're all of a sudden undefeated. And I think there's sometimes where, you know, you get losses on your record, and, you know, things happen, and then it makes you, I think, look inward and say, well, what are we going to do to fix that? And I think the Chiefs came out today, were efficient offensively, and this is usually how the ending is going to go when the Chiefs are as good offensively as they were. The Chiefs defense could have let up another 11 points and been 41 points, and the Chiefs would have ended up winning this game because of what Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill were able to do. The running game was really good. I think if you're looking for positives, it's, you know, you're not going to necessarily find them defensively other than Mike Dana and some of the red zone stops. But I thought the run game was really good. This Chiefs offensive line is impressive, and it's especially impressive on the right side with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. These guys do not look like rookies. I knew that there might be some growth for Lucas Niang that still needs to be had. I didn't think he had a great game with that pen. I know there was a key penalty that he ended up taking, but just that interior with these two rookies, and, you know, so much is made about the rookie contract for a quarterback. This is like an extension of that. I mean, you have these two studs locked up in their rookie contract for the next 4 years. They look like veterans, Steve, like within this run game. And it's the second week in a row, we should mention, where Clyde Edwards-Helaire was able to get 100 rushing yards.
Yeah. And that interior offensive line is a big part of that. You know, Clyde had that late, I was like inside the red zone carry where he just had a massive gaping hole to run through. I think he got stopped on the 1 yard line. Clyde looked impressive, and a big part of it is this team's good at run blocking. And that was kind of what we talked about with Orlando Brown Jr. too, is that's where he really excelled with the Baltimore Ravens. Lucas Niang has gone through some growing pains, but you have to assume the offensive line is going to continue to get better as the season goes. And that's something we've talked about a ton. It takes a while for those guys to know how everybody moves and to gel together, because once you become a true unit, you know, this guy's got my back if something breaks down here or whatever. And so we're seeing that kind of unfold with the offensive line, and it's hard not to be impressed with them. And the Chiefs running game, I love this version of Clyde. Clyde has really bounced back in a huge way since that Baltimore Ravens fumble. Back-to-back weeks, you mentioned it, he's been exceptional, and I hope they continue to get him involved in the offense, because it changes things when you can bank on Clyde being that dude week in and week out.
Right, and I think, you know, when you have the power targets that are Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you can't be putting as many defenders in the box, and that's going to open up things for Clyde. And Clyde is that type of guy where if you give him just a little bit of room, you could see what he can do on the ground. Like I said, back-to-back games of 100 yards. Worth noting here that it was a little bit more of a committee running back situation this week. Clyde got 14 carries, but Darrell Williams had 10 carries of his own for 42 yards and the score. And I also want to note, and I tweeted this about the run game, I just thought so many times last year on third and short, second and short, the Chiefs were just getting stuffed and stuffed and stuffed. And them, I know it doesn't sound like it should be a big deal, but them being able to pick up a yard is a welcomed change. And you can see what it does when a team's like, okay, well, we forced third down up, the Chiefs gain 3 yards, another set of first downs. Where's that a defense? It ruins their will to win. And I thought that was a key part in the second half for the Chiefs, just continuing to extend these drives. And it's also like the defensive approach that these teams, and you saw it on the broadcast early, where they're just not going to get beat deep anymore. Okay. So play methodical football. You know, you could try that. I'm sure Tyreek Hill is still going to get his. We saw at the end of the game. But if they're going to force you to play methodical, okay, play methodical football and watch us score 30 or 40 points as we bleed this clock out. I think the Chiefs are really showing something in that. Yes, they can have the 3 or 4 yard play drive where Travis Kelce ends up getting a 62-yard touchdown. Tyreek Hill ends up getting an 80-yard touchdown. But I'm really more impressed with these slow, methodical drives that the Chiefs are having to do because of the way the opposing defense is playing them.
Yeah, and I talked about it a ton this week as well. If defenses are going to do everything they can to take away Tyreek Hill, and today the Eagles said we're going to take away Travis Kelce, and
yeah, they said no Kelce today.
So Tyreek Hill just absolutely destroyed them and was completely unguardable today. So that's, you got to pick your poison with that. But yeah, early in the game when they were struggling to go downfield, you like seeing that from this Chiefs offense because it does have to evolve a little bit. And I would say more often than not, teams are probably going to be more okay with Travis Kelce having over 100 yards and carving you up over the middle than they are going to be with Tyreek Hill having nearly 200 yards and three touchdowns. So a lot more defenses are going to try to take away Tyreek Hill, I would assume. And so this Chiefs offense has to evolve a little bit. You have to become the Brady, Peyton Manning type of efficient offenses, where that's another step in Mahomes' game where, okay, you're not going to let me sling it downfield like I want to, then I'm just going to carve you up sideline to sideline. We've seen Aaron Rodgers do that as he's gone later in his career. And that's something that Patrick Mahomes is going to continue to get better at. And if he does that, that's going to free things up down the field. And this Chiefs offense will just be even more unstoppable.
I want to get to this point, Steve, because we're on the offense right now, that there was a report this morning from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, essentially saying that the Chiefs have been so impressed with Josh Gordon and how he's picking up the offense, and he may be available for Sunday Night Football as soon as next week. I thought this was a possibility. I didn't think there was any way he was playing this week, even though I know a lot of people thought that might be a chance, a possibility. But I could see the Chiefs building in some plays for Gordon. I don't think he'll be a huge part of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big W for Andy Reid, right? And it's the atmosphere around Kansas City this week has been kind of negative. Obviously, it's not a good way to start the season the way every other team in the AFC West is looking right now. The Chiefs needed this win. And, you know, you want to see the defense make strides, but if you got to do what they did in 2018 and just put up 35, 40 points a game, then let's do it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no, I thought that this could turn into a shootout very early in this game because of the way that it was looking, and it ended up being that way. And, you know, I think for a little bit until the defense figures it out, you're going to really have to put up points. Like I feel the same way looking ahead to Buffalo next week. I mean, this is a team with a strong offense that's going to come in and they're going to they're going to be putting up points, and you know, you may need 49 points to beat Buffalo, Steve. So I think a lot of people and a lot of national media, after they get over Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick tonight, they're going to be locked in on this game next week, because even though both of these teams have a couple losses here, this will be the premier battle in the AFC to see, okay, how is the AFC going to go this year? Who do you have to beat along the way to get to the Super Bowl?
This next week against the Buffalo Bills, all of a sudden, like, it was always going to be a big game. You know, it's Sunday Night Football, but the Buffalo Bills have looked dominant the past three games after kind of faltering in week one of the NFL season against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so now all of a sudden, this game is going to have a lot of hype. I know we've been talking about Brady's return to New England all week this week, but we need to start talking about this Chiefs-Bills game next Sunday, because the defense is going to have to step up against the Buffalo Bills the way that they're playing right now, and their defense has looked pretty good. So they're going to try to do a lot to slow down this Chiefs offense. So they got a lot to work on this week, and I don't know if Juan Thornhill was out there missing tackles today. I don't know if he's going to be the answer, but we've got to figure some things out before they take on the Buffalo Bills at Arrowhead.
The Chiefs need Frank Clark back in the lineup this week. I know he's dealing with a hamstring injury, and I just don't think there's any other options, you know, aside from Mike Dana. If you're, you know, putting Chris Jones inside, Alex Okafor doesn't seem like he has a ton left. And so to me, I think that'll be huge again, Charvarius Ward. And then we'll see about Willie Gay. We did see Willie Gay on the practice field during the media looks on Wednesday and Thursday of last week, but they have not brought him back from injured reserve yet. It's an interesting injury, the turf toe, but to me, that would be a huge boost as well. But the thing that, you know, is they're not going to rush either of these guys back, because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you do have to win these regular season games, but you're going to need Frank Clark to give you something if you're going to do something in the playoffs. And I think Willie Gay is going to be of the utmost importance if you're going to have success against a team like the Bills in the postseason when the postseason rolls around.
And one thing that Willie Gay isn't going to bring to this defense is the answer to their communication problems. We've seen it through four games, and it was apparent again today, especially on that Kenneth Gainwell touchdown later in the game, where it looked like the Chiefs had no idea what they were doing pre-snap, Eagles rushed the line, snapped the ball, handed it off to Kenneth Gainwell, and he ran in the end zone for a touchdown. And that stuff, you can get away with that against a team like the Philadelphia Eagles. You can't get away with stuff like that against a team like the Buffalo Bills next week. And the Chiefs' schedule, we've talked about it a ton, doesn't get easier. They've got a right. tough schedule all throughout the year. That's what happens when you're the best team in the AFC. You play a tough schedule year in and year out. And so they do need to figure out what the communication issues are all about, because we've seen this in the past, even on the offensive side of the ball, where, you know, penalties, communication miscues, we've seen that kind of rear its ugly head for the Chiefs before. They've always been able to overcome that, but it seems like the defense, it's part of the thing that's holding them back this year, in my opinion, because you just have to know where you're supposed to be. You have to know what you're supposed to be doing and the formations you're supposed to be running. And if you can't figure that out on a weekly basis, you're going to continue to get gashed.
Yeah. I agree, and I think that's definitely something that Steve Spagnuolo is really going to have to address, because it just seems like miscommunication seems like a one or two play problem that you end up fixing quickly. The fact that we're still talking about somehow miscommunications and calls really not getting to every level of the defense, that it seems like it's going on like the third or fourth week, to me that can't be. And you know, I'm not always going to be one that's like, okay, you know, I've already seen a couple people like, we need to get rid of Spagnuolo. No, I don't believe that. I think he's 2 years off of a Super Bowl, and we've seen him fix defenses in the middle of the year before. But this particular thing does seem like at least deserves some sort of explanation, because there's no excuse for multiple weeks of the same miscommunication problems. And I think it became even more apparent today, as I kind of mentioned before, the fact that the Eagles were like leaning into it. They were saying, you know, we're going to rush so that maybe the Chiefs defense was confused. And they were early on. And that's why we saw the Eagles in the game for the first half of this thing. I want to talk about this part for a second, Steve. And that's Nick Sirianni. And I know that Chiefs head coach Andy Reid just credited Sirianni with getting that program together in Philadelphia. But you have your first drive of the game, and you're on the 3 yard line. And for some reason, the play clock was going to go down as fourth down. And you decide, okay, we're going to take a timeout so the play clock doesn't run out. And then you kick. And I just think that, man, it's already been put on tape how many points around, like, you need to beat the Chiefs. And there you are in the 3 yard line. I mean, the book has now changed. It's go for it. And if you don't get it, look, the Chiefs started the 3 and then they have to go 97 yards. You do have a safety opportunity. You have to score 7 points consistently to stay with the Chiefs. And there was another point where they were on the 7 yard line. And I understand that the offense was not looking great at the time, but they have to kick a field goal instead of going for a touchdown. And then to me, you know, you look at the final score and there it is. It's 42-30. Like, you just are not going to be able to beat the Chiefs by kicking field goals. And I think that was a mistake for Sirianni. I really think that John Harbaugh has established what you have to do. And Cleveland did it to an extent. The Ravens did it in their win against the Chiefs. You saw the Chargers doing it. They Chargers went for it on 4th and 9. So you're not going in front of it at the 7 yard line. I just think you always got to be going for touchdowns. And if you don't get them, you're not going to win anyway. Right. So go, you might as well go. I thought those two particular situations were key mistakes. And you see in the final score, it ended up costing the Eagles.
Yeah. And I've got some thoughts on Nick Sirianni and his fourth down play calling, or deciding not to go for it on fourth downs. But can we stop it with the highlighters first? Nick, you can't keep adding highlighters every week. He had 3 of them today. He had 2 last week, had 1 the week before. He keeps adding more and more highlighters in game. I think that today it felt like rookie head coaching, nervous to make the wrong call, because the Eagles offense wasn't having problems moving the ball at all today. And so, Yeah, that should be each and every week. Go for it on fourth down against the Chiefs. That's the Mahomes factor, because when you don't, he can do what he did to you in the fourth quarter of that game. So you have to put up touchdowns. You can't settle for field goals. And early on in the game, the Eagles had a chance to go up a couple of scores, and they decided to settle for the field goals, and then it immediately bit them because Nick Sirianni didn't want to go for it on fourth down, and they settled for 3 instead of 7, and that's just not how you beat the Chiefs, and I guarantee Buffalo is going to be going for it on fourth down next week.
Yeah, I am interested in that because if you remember, the Buffalo Bills actually led the Chiefs in the AFC title game. And early in that game, they were not going for it on fourth down. And I remember tweeting and live tweeting at the time and being like, why are they not going for it here on fourth and short? They're kicking field goals. And, you know, even though they had a 9-0 lead, you blink and you see what Patrick Mahomes can do. And it happened to them in the AFC title game. Now they've seen it put on tape that if you're aggressive and you are able to score touchdowns, you can stay in a game with the Chiefs. I got to think McDermott's going to be way more aggressive when the Chiefs and Bills do meet up on Sunday Night Football next week. What is your panic level with this Chiefs defense as we stand here through 4 weeks, Steve?
It's pretty high. So I don't rush to judgment in the NFL season. Like, I want to get through week 4 is usually kind of where I set the bar. Get a month into the season. That's a large enough sample size, in my opinion, to decide whether or not it's time to worry. And now, I don't think that means that they can't turn some things around on defense. Maybe Frank Clark, a healthy Frank Clark, is the actual difference maker there. Maybe Charvarius Ward comes back and adds a little bit more stability to their Chiefs, to the Chiefs' cornerbacks. But there's no reason, in my opinion, right now to feel confident about them significantly turning this thing around. Like I mentioned, it's just be like the 22nd best defense in the NFL is like all I'm hoping for at this point. You know, force some turnovers here and there and get a couple of sacks because it just doesn't seem like they can consistently stop anybody right now. And I thought that they had enough talent on this defense, even though we had some question marks coming into the season, that they would be better than this at this point, and they just simply aren't. And now we've got a 4-game sample size where they haven't been particularly good in any game. They just happen to catch some breaks today and some poor decision-making by Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, I don't think my panic level is all that high, but I will say this. I don't think they're a championship-level defense. Could you win a championship with this defense? Yeah, because Mahomes can score 50 points any day of the week. I think you're going to significantly better your chances to win a championship if the defense can play better. By the way, I'm seeing some of the injuries come through. Ben Neiman is in the concussion protocol. We'll see what happens with Rashad Fenton next week. And again, we'll be watching Charvarius Ward and Frank Clark are the injuries to watch. But I don't think I'm super panicked just because I know Steve Spagnuolo has turned it around before, and we are looking at what 14 more weeks here, 13 more weeks to get it right. I think the Bills will be a good benchmark, and I'm eager to see if there's any kind of scheme changes or personnel changes when it comes to what the Chiefs defense is going to do against Buffalo. One point I want to make sure we hit on before we close this thing down, Steve, you got to call the challenge or you got to call timeout on the Kenny Gainwell play. If the game went completely differently and the Chiefs wound up losing on Sunday in Philadelphia, a lot of people would have brought that up and been like, how do you not challenge in that situation? And I think it extended it being a game for longer than it had to be. The Chiefs really pulled away in the fourth quarter. This might have been one of these halves at the beginning of the game where you go into the locker room and maybe you're up 8 to 14 points because you would have ended up taking away what turned into a touchdown drive for the Philadelphia Eagles. So how that happened, that to me I thought was a little bit inexcusable. I'm sure just a miscommunication and whoever it is that is supposed to buzz Andy Reid, very fortunate that the Chiefs were able to come out with the win today.
Yeah, and that's not the first time we've seen that happen. If you remember the Tyreek Hill touchdown from last season, that it appeared like the Chiefs didn't even look at it. So maybe they just didn't look at this either. Somebody's got to have that job. Somebody's got to be the guy that says, no, we need to take a look at this really quick. Don't rush to just assume that the refs made the right call. Because as we see in a week in, week out basis, the refs make bad calls all the time. So
yeah, well, Mick Schaefer, 41, had a good point. I saw him tweet this out. Why not just call that a fumble and let it play out, and then you can go back on it because the turnovers get reviewed automatically. You might as well just like let it play out. But yeah, no, I didn't get that, and I think, you know, in that type of situation where you have struggled in the red zone. You're now in the red zone, and you know that would have been an easy turnover. It just is a mistake that the Chiefs are fortunate they won against a better team. You got to get that right. Like if that happened against the Buffalo Bills next week, who are supposed to be your biggest foe in the AFC, that may cost you the game, you know, because I think the margin for error gets a little bit closer. I also think this, and this is one of my final points about the Chiefs offense too. If the Chiefs offense is going to have one turnover or maybe even two or less, I think you're going to win most Sundays, regardless of how bad the defense looks. That's just the way the Chiefs offense is. I've tried to tell people this. So I think if you just play good, sound football, like you're going to win most weeks. I think we know that about the Chiefs, and that buys the defense time. And I just think the Chiefs are going to win championships, and it's not ever going to be because the defense is a certain thing. It just has to be okay. It's going to be because of Patrick Mahomes in the offense. So you see the result of only having the one turnover on Sunday, and the defense playing bad, you're still ending up winning the game. So I think ball security is probably of the utmost of importance for this team, followed by the defense. But ball security, ball security, ball security. You don't turn the football over, you're probably scoring 38 to 45 points with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and we saw that even when you try to take away the deep ball from the Chiefs, it's just, okay, fine. We can run the football now. We have an offensive line that can open these massive rushing lanes for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We'll get Darrell Williams involved, maybe work Jerick McKinnon in a couple of snaps here. And then eventually Tyreek Hill's going to break free downfield. And so, yeah, the offense has always been the reason you're going to win a championship or be contending for a championship. And that certainly hasn't changed. I just want to see less of, okay, Mahomes has to cover up all of the mistakes of the team because he's right. So exceptional. And I understand that's part of the job when you're the best quarterback in the NFL, but it also is a little unfair to Patrick Mahomes as a player that he's constantly got to compensate for the other areas that the Chiefs are lacking in. But he did it today, aside from the one interception, so he can obviously handle the pressure if he needs to.
Well, that's it. With the end of the Eagles rapid reaction show, we are now into Buffalo Bills week, which includes a lot of action coming at you from the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. Stick around on this podcast as we'll give you the Kansas City Chiefs pressers from Philadelphia. And then also on the podcast tomorrow, which is the Arrowhead Drive. Following the Arrowhead Drive, we will have Out of Structure and those guys taking your questions from Twitter, the Editor Show, and other Arrowhead Drives. So we are going to continue on here as the Chiefs try to build off of this 42-30 win over the Philadelphia Eagles, get the defense right, and be ready for those Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. Steve, this time next week, you and I will be doing this at like 11:30 midnight. We'll have sleep in our eyes. That's another night that I'm going to have coffee, like really a lot of coffee at Arrowhead Stadium.
Second one of the year.
Yeah, so that should be good. All right. Well, for Steve Serda, I'm Pete Sweeney. Thank you for joining us on the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Protocol. So other than that, we came out pretty healthy here. It was great to be here, first of all, and it was an offensive day. So on both sides of the ball here, or both sides of the field, Pat had ended up with 5 touchdowns, which I thought was a tremendous day. Tyreek had 11 catches for 186 yards. Clyde with 14 carries for 102 yards, and then our defense did a great job in the red zone. So we held them to field goals instead of touchdowns. We were down there 5 times, and we were successful with that part of it, three out of the five times. So, and then Mike Dana had the two sacks, which was great. He was around the quarterback most of the day, and that was great. It was a good day for the punters too. They had a vacation on both teams, and you know, that can be a good thing and a bad thing, right? So that's also goes both sides of the field. But all in all, it was a good game. So we're glad we won the game. With that, time's yours.
Coach, earlier this week when I asked you about the 100th win, you said there's no doubt, obviously, you know, regular celebration of locker room. What's it mean to you celebrating back here?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great. I mean, the people here have been phenomenal since I got here. My room was loaded with food. So it was good to have a cheesesteak and a lot of other things. So it's good to be back and then doing that here. I hadn't really thought about that. I don't know if that's a positive thing, but I'm glad it took place, and it's over now. So we can move on.
But then to follow up on that, obviously, you know, what can you take away from this ball game? I know you talked about, you know, what you did, red zone wise, and you know, obviously Jalen had a pretty decent game. What takeaways can you take away from that?
Yeah, so I think it was a great day for our young guys just to get experience, especially on the defensive side, that back end. You know, we've got some young guys that were playing in there. It'd be good to get some of the guys back and in place and coming off injury. But that will pay off for us down the road. That experience will pay off for us. Gord, you got to ask a question. Come on.
Absolutely.
How we doing?
201 yards rushing. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I saved it for you. Just right. Now, we ran the ball well, and we were pretty balanced, I mean, as we went. So it was a good throwing day, it was a good passing day, and it worked out all right for us.
Coach, you mentioned 201 yards rushing last week, 186. Is the start of a trend going forward, 300-plus yards rushing in two games?
Now, listen, we want to be able to mix it up one or the other, and sometimes both for you, Irby. But no, I'm not big on trends. Once you have trends, these other guys are pretty good that you're playing against, and they knock you out of the ballpark. So, but we want to be able to do both and do it when we want to do it. So,
Andy, what did you see from the guys this week in the locker room, just out of practice, that led you to believe that performance like this could happen?
Yeah, listen, I mean, you guys asked me this last week about does it bother you? Well, yeah, it bothers everybody. I mean, you're in a profession where winning is very important. And so these guys take that personal, and they understand that. And they've had success, and they want to get back doing the things that they know are correct. And we weren't doing that for a couple weeks. We had all these turnovers and too much. We were giving games away that way, and that's what we did. So it was important that we, you know, we buckled down better and do a nice job, and that's what happened today.
So in what way, though, did you sense that? I mean, could you sense something different in practice this week?
Yeah, listen, I mean, they had a good week the week before, so. It's a, you know, bit of a mindset in a lot of cases, and, you know, I was pleased with the way they performed today. I think Nick's doing a nice job with this team, so people here need to be patient with him. He's, you know, he's new to town, and he, you saw what he's capable of doing here, and I think the Eagles are in good hands here.
Andy, I hear you on the red zone defense. It looked like there was some other snaps where maybe there was some confusion, substitution patterns, and stuff like that. Am I right about that? And if so, how big of a difference is that?
Yeah, there were a couple. Just on, it wasn't necessarily, it was a guy tired here or there and getting him in and getting him out, so. That happens. That happens during the game, and in particular when you're shuffling people, trying to keep them fresh during these warm weather months. So, we'll get that cleaned up.
Andy, when you see the team, when you see the results match the preparation that you put in today, you see the results match that, how gratifying is that for the whole staff?
Yeah, well, the guys work hard. The coaches work hard. They spend a lot of time doing this, and then the players. We've got a group that they're not afraid to work, so you want them to have success, and it's good for them to have that. Yeah.
Nate, in Tyreek had an amazing performance. What makes this one in particular special?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just the last play. I mean, it was all the way through here. There, you know, we've got the two guys that you know people are going to try to take out of the game, between Kelce and him, and they've got to really work for everything that they get. And so Tyreek has developed in that. He doesn't get frustrated. He just finds a way. And sometimes you have to do that. And when you're younger, you have a tendency to get frustrated in those situations. And, you know, he's about seeing it all, and he just works through it. And he comes back with answers, like, hey, this is potentially there, you know. So I appreciate that.
Andy,
yep.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
Andy. You've only been back here twice for games now, and I do wonder when you're walking on and off the field, do you have a moment where it just sort of strikes you that you used to work here? And how familiar does it feel, or how
coming does
it feel?
Well, it did. I mean, you know, coming to the hotel, it felt that way. I mean, I saw a lot of people that I had known, and there were still a lot of folks here. There's only three players left, but they're special guys, so, you know. I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed going out and competing against them. They're going to give you their, you're going to give them their our best shot, and they're going to do the thing, same thing in return. They want to kick your tail. So.
Does it strike any emotional cord at all? Or?
No, listen, I'm pretty good with it. You want me to cry up here? By I mean, I don't have anything more to say. But I'm sweating my butt off, and I want to get back in the shower. You know. No, I thought I'd be okay. Yeah, I'm stubborn that way, I guess. But I thought I'd be fine.
Last question,
Andy. You said people need to be patient here with Nick. You've been here. You know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know there's a lot of impatience. Did you get a chance to say anything to Nick? And what would you say to him?
Yeah, keep being you. Keep being you. You just keep doing what you're doing, man. You're gonna be fine. So he's got a strong personality, a strong kid, man. So, and you need that here. You guys can be a little rough, so. But you got to have that, and you keep moving. You don't let things grab you and take you down. So.
Mark, thank you.
All right, good. Good seeing everybody.
Yeah, it was definitely exciting. I'm not going to say what Tyreek said, but it was definitely exciting to kind of get him that win. We were due to get him that win. It had been a couple weeks now, but I'm glad we got to do it in Philadelphia and around where he kind of came into his own, and now he's in the Kansas City, and it's a good thing he's here with us.
You know Andy about as well as anybody in the locker room. What do you think this means to him? Yeah. Not only get 100 with the Chiefs, but get it here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's special to him, for sure. I mean, being in Philadelphia, kind of like I said, I mean, he kind of became Andy Reid, in a sense, in Philadelphia. And to be able to go to Kansas City and build what he's built here and get that 100 win in Philadelphia, I mean, obviously he's going to keep on going. He has a lot of dreams for this season. But he'll definitely take in this moment for a second, at least. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to open everything up. I mean, being able to run the football in this league is crucial. And be able to have the guys that we have, and you're going to see week by week they're getting better and better and better. And they obviously, they have the talent. It's about working together and building those relationships. And Clyde's running the ball really well. Other guys are stepping in and running the ball really well. And I think you saw it today. Once you run the ball a lot, defense will come up a little bit, and you can kind of hit them over the top. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's funny, the first underhand pass Kelce actually made up, and he used himself as a decoy to kind of open it up. And so when you have receivers coming up and saying, hey, if I do this, he'll get someone else open, that's a special group of guys. And so he did that one, and then he had the one where we told him to give a little bit of Hollywood sell, and telling Kelce to give a little bit of anything, you're going to get a lot. So he showed why his acting skills and got us a touchdown to Jody. And to be able to do all those different cool things can keep kind of everybody alive and ready to go.
Going forward as the Chiefs coach, do you feel some sense of that in this moment too, or doing it
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's I think when you look back on him, you'll know him as a Kansas City Chief. I mean, the way he's able to kind of build up this organization from day one and win and build up to where we won the Super Bowl and then got back to the Super Bowl and then now where we're at now. He's building something. He'll continue to build it. We have a lot of young guys on this team who he gets the best out of every single day. And no offense to Philly, but I'm glad they let him go. And he's here coaching us in Kansas City. Yeah, I don't know if it affects your performance, but I think it affects your week of work, I guess you would say. I think you understood this last week, the urgency that we had, that we need to get everything done. We need to practice at a certain attitude. You need to go in and really work on the little details. And, I mean, it's not complacency, but you lose those little things whenever you're winning every single week, whenever you can get at the end of the game, be like, oh, we're just going to win the football game. We'll figure out a way. It doesn't happen like that in the NFL, and the NFL will kind of correct you really quick. And we saw that, and now we have to keep building because we're playing a really good football team this next week. Yeah, I think it's definitely a good step in the right direction. It shows that work that we put in this last week was what we need to do every single week. It shows that we have to be able to run the football to open up other things. But there's still a lot of things that we have to get better at. We have to cut the turnovers on another interception, another mistake in a crucial part of the game. We have to find ways to get stops in the red zone, which I thought the defense did a good job of that today. And at the end of the day, we have to find ways to continue to win. And I think we have a nice test this next week playing the Bills and how well they're playing. We get to do it Sunday at Arrowhead, Sunday Night Football, so it'll be a good game.
Yeah. Patrick, you said you were excited about the challenge when you were faced with one or two of the backs at the wall. Do you feel like you guys have met that challenge today? I mean, obviously you have to win, but do you feel like you exceed expectations of getting that win today?
I think we started it. I mean, there's still a long ways to go. This is a long season. We started in the right direction by battling. I mean, they came out and firing, and we were able to battle back and find a way to win the football game. But if you look at our schedule, there's no easy games. So we've kind of earned the right to play in all these tough games, we have to continue to build and get better. You don't win a season at the beginning of October, September. It's about getting better each and every week, we're going to keep building and building and try to do what we can to get better as a team. I think that's just holding each other accountable. I mean, just as much as I hold these guys accountable, they hold me accountable of being the best Patrick Mahomes I can be every single day. And I think when you have leaders on the team that do that to each other, that I'm making Travis the best Travis Kelce can be every day, Tyreek, and then Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, it in turn will kind of flow throughout the entire team. We haven't dug ourselves out of a hole yet. We're still not in first place in the AFC West, and we have to continue to build and build and win football games. So I'm excited to keep that challenge going, keep that same mindset, and be a great Kansas City Chiefs football team.
Last two quickly, guys. I mean, when you have a guy like that who has had, first couple of weeks of the season and had down games, for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that all the time. I mean, when he's such a special playmaker. I mean, not only as a receiver catching the ball, but we find ways to get him the ball in the run game. We find ways to kind of use him to get other people open. But I think you see that with this team, it's about winning at the end of the day. I mean, we want to win football games. Tyreek, obviously, we want to get him involved as much as possible. But if we need to use him to get someone else open, he's willing to do that. Today, Travis didn't have this big game that he always has. But if you would have saw him on the sideline, you just saw the leader that he was. He's getting everybody going every single time, not letting the energy go down. And I think that shows the type of guys that we have on this team is obviously everybody wants to have big games every single game. But at the end of the day, it's about winning at the end of winning. And I think we have guys that understand that.
Last one. He went and showed up, obviously, but cutting down the turnovers. Today it looked like you all were having fun, obviously, coming close in. You all were having a lot of fun. How do you build on that going further, knowing that you got Buffalo coming in too?
Yeah, you got to keep enjoying this game. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a game. It's something that we want to be great at, something that we want to continue to work, and it's challenging every single day. But you have to have fun out there. And I think you see whenever we're having fun, usually good things happen. And so like you said, we're getting to play a good Buffalo team. I think had another shutout that's playing really good football, and I'm sure they want to beat us pretty bad. And so I'm excited for the challenge to get to play them and get to go up against one of the best teams in the AFC.
I don't know, man. I'm just thankful to be a part of this team. You know, I mean, I feel like each and every week, you know, I mean, people expect me to be this, be that, but I'm always be me, you know, for this team. You know, I don't care if I have, you know, 200 yards. I don't care if I have 50, as long as we get the W. So that's me. That's my mindset each and every day. That's the way my dad taught me to play football, play for my brothers, you know. I don't know, man. I just feel like, you know, I mean, Twitter mainly, fantasy owners mainly, that draft me first round. So I don't know. They got to understand it's a team game. I can't go crazy every week, you know. Sometimes Kelsey's going to go crazy. Well, Kelsey's always going to go crazy because it's Kelsey. He's the best in the game. McCole, D-Rob, you know, guys like that. So, like I said, my job is just basically, you know, if it's my week to be the decoy, I do that. I don't care, you know. So, like I said, the way that my dad taught me to play football is, you know, play for your brothers, play for the guy beside you, and, you know, good things happen for you. So. Oh, man, he's going to help tremendously. You know, I feel like adding another vet like that who's played in this league, you know, for a long time, you know, it's crazy. So he's definitely going to add, like, another value, you know, to this team. And I actually told him, I'm like, dude, when you play for the Browns, like, I was just graduating high school. That's crazy, right? So. I mean, I guess we were just setting them up, I guess, you know, all game. You know, you see Coach Reed running slant after slant and then out route after out route, and then we finally, you know, go deep. So, I mean, that's just the way Andy Reed rolls.
The offense feels efficient as it looked. I mean, you guys didn't have a punt. You guys see the score every possession. Does it feel as
that efficient as it looked? Nah, man, I feel like we still missing a step. You know, like a few guys running the wrong routes on plays, you know, we're not getting depth on plays, you know, we may not be blocking the correct guy sometimes, you know, so I feel like after this game, we're going to go back, we're going to watch film, and there's always things to correct. I don't care if you put up 50 points, there's always like one little thing in a play to be corrected, whether it's myself, whether it's Kels, whether it's Pat, like we're going to find that something to correct. Right.
Where do you feel like you've grown the most in that aspect where you can give Andy or Patrick a certain idea of how to beat the
cover? I don't know. I guess when I first came into this league, you know, I was real blessed to have Coach Cully, David Cully, who's the head coach of the Houston Texans, you know, as my receiver coach. And he always told me, you know, the good ones, they see one safety, but the great ones, they see the whole field. Like corners, the safeties, you know, and I always try to keep that in my mind every time I line up. You know, I always try to see what the other side, that corner's doing and both safeties doing before I line up. You know, so sometimes if you see me walking, like I'm trying to see what's going on, you know. So, I mean, I'm just trying to be great, man, for this team. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm always like that. But, I mean, I'm a diva. I just love talking. Like, every time I come to the sideline, I'm like, Coach, we just need to go deep every play. Like, that's my mindset every play. So sometimes he hear me, sometimes he don't. So if that's what he's talking about, yeah. I'm like, Coach, we need to go deep. He's sitting. Like, let's go deep. Why not? Pat can throw 80 yards, right?
Tyreek, just to get away, you know, like the last couple of weeks, Clyde Edwards-Helaire just mentioned about how he felt like sometimes against you, you could put himself on fire. It's just because the way he played.
Right.
I know that had to motivate all.
Right.
Just to get a win.
Yeah, it definitely feels great, you know, to just get a win. But I feel like this win right here, we are just going to continue to build off of it. You know, like I said, there's always things to correct, and that's what we're going to do because this team, like, we all want to be good. Like, people expect us to win each and every week, you know. And I feel like we even, like, got, like, in our mind, I feel like we was also there too. You know, like the guys in the locker room, we was like, oh, man, we expected to win. So that's the way we play sometimes. You know, like we just need to we just need to do what we did today. Like, come out and just be the aggressor. So. Oh, it's going to be a fun one, man. It's going to be a fun one, man. Hopefully I can get in the end zone again. So that's always my mindset.
How's the last of all? You mentioned playing for your brothers. I know you have a lot of emotion for Andy, too. I wonder what it means to you to see him get a Thunder's win here. And just maybe if you could express what it is about him that's special to you.
Like seeing him in the locker room fired up, like after the game, like, it's just surreal, man, because as a kid, like, I used to, like, watch TV and just see Coach Reed coaching in Philadelphia, you know, I used to have, like, dreams and, like, aspirations of playing in the NFL, and now I'm actually playing for, you know, one of the greatest coaches of all time. So I think we should end like that. Thank you.
As far as me personally, I mean, I didn't stop and do anything different from what I was doing the last couple of weeks. I mean, I went in and practiced and went in every single day like I do every single week and did the same things that I do week in and week out. So it's really just pretty much staying with your preparation and then when not panicking when everything goes south for you. So I just kind of stayed in my lane and did the things that I do week in and week out and handled business this week. You know, I feel like when any of our numbers are called on the offense, we all come out and perform. It's just one of those things that we know and we understand as an individual group and different guys on the offense. Everybody's going to have their games. Everybody's going to have, like, their ups. And, you know, when your number called, you go and perform. And it's just that simple. I never just look down upon myself as far as a performance. If I go out and only get a couple carries, it's whatever I had to do that week, I was doing whatever the team needed. It's not just like a point and fingers thing for me. So I go out and handle my job and do what I'm supposed to do.
How much fun do you guys have when you're working on those red zone plays and pass incorporating the shovel pass? Just what does that do for everyone when you hear the play calling the huddle and what's most fun about those type of plays?
Personally for me, when they call it in the huddle, it's just one of those things you really can't show the excitement from inside the huddle. It's just like, you know, just got to play the cool and collected role. And I'm pretty sure just before that play, nobody can say, oh, well, Clyde was looking like he was about to get the ball on this play. It's just I go out there and do what I do week in and week out. I know y'all, it's the same things over and over again, but that's just who I am as a person. I go in and do what I'm asked to do, and the rest is, you know, in God's hands. Yeah, it played a lot, you know, especially for me. I heard it week in and week out, probably about 100 times, no pun intended. But it was just one of those things that was in the back of my head, just really doing it for somebody who gave me an opportunity and never looked down upon me. Even last week, the whole KC, everybody just wanted to kind of set me on fire, even the week before that. And then you just go in and talk to Coach Reed, like, bro. Just chill, go out there and do your thing. Like, it's not, oh, you know, the world's ending just because of a play happened. He was like, man, you doing what we asked you to do as far as execution. You're a football player, you're a human, and mistakes are going to happen. But obviously, everybody be on the coattail as soon as you do something good. So I just kind of roll and still be that same person. So. Oh yeah, and I even had like a little sweatshirt. I didn't wear it in here, but it was like the Fresh Prince of Elair sweatshirt. I thought it was pretty cool. So, you know, it's just kind of those things. Like, it's all an emotional game, and just having those things and just knowing, no coach has ever done that before, and being able to come in and help him get that accomplished was one of those things that was on my mind.
What was said about that in the locker room?
Nothing. As far as the players, we weren't going like, oh yeah, we got to go get Coach's 100th win. It was, we got to go get a win.
Okay.
You know, that's it wasn't pinpointed, but everybody knew. It's not like the whole world didn't know that if we was going for his 100th win and we were playing in Philly. Like, that's the obvious statement, but the more obvious thing was we lost the last two games and we needed to get a win. So that's just what it was. I would say any win is a confidence boost, and if you think otherwise and you're not a professional athlete and or competitive, just the competitive nature. I can't stand next to a guy who can, you know, drop two games and then come out in the last game and hope, not thinking that we should go out and get a W or get a or obviously dominate the game. So that was just the our mindset coming in, and we obviously did it.
Clive, when it comes to, you mentioned like people in Kansas City are about to set you on fire. So you clearly heard everything. Does that motivate you internally? Like, all right, I'm going to show that. All right, watch this on Sunday. Is that the mentality?
Man, I've been dealing with it since I was about 7 years old, 8 years since I've been playing ball. And you know, it's more publicly seen as far as now, but, you know, I'll let everybody else kind of waste their time with that while I go to work. You know, you can say whatever comments, do all the unnecessary things, but I still got to go, you know, do my job, execute, go in the building and keep moving. I never dwell on some things in the past as far as the game. You know, this game is about, I'm not going to say short-term memory loss, but just being able to drop the negative things. And even if it's a positive, you can't sit there and dwell on it like, oh, I did this a couple weeks ago, so I'm good. It's more of, you know, the next play is my opportunity to do something great. Why not?
You weren't asked, but Clyde, were you expecting Patrick to throw it underhanded?
I was.
Were you aware his first three were underhand, overhand,
shovel? What you mean, first three? Oh, yeah. Yeah, most. I mean, we go execute the plays, and that play specifically is something I want to say Trav, and I want to say they kind of made it up during one of the little walkthrough periods, just a special teams period. So some of the guys kind of go off on the side, and then we end up kind of making it happen, kind of playing the Tom and Jerry role. What's the name of the play? My bad. Obviously, I'm Jerry, and Tom was Trav on the play. So, y'all can kind of, you know, figure it out from that point. Go watch it. Oh yeah, I mean, obviously the camera doesn't lie. We getting push and we getting movement, and you know, that's what kind of gets the run game going. And from that point, it's my job to kind of keep it rolling and give those guys that confidence boost that, you know, obviously when we go out and do what we're supposed to do, good things come from it. And that's just what it is as far as the Chiefs in our run game.
We'll go last to Danny. Go ahead, Danny. You talked about the size of those holes. Is it personal for your offensive line?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's we go in, we have I want to say like specific run meetings and blitz meetings as far as just kind of with the running back and the O-line and running back coaches and the O-line coach. So we talk about it. And it's one of those things that we want to obviously show that we can do. And we've shown it last year, but we needed to incorporate it this year and show that obviously we can run the ball, and not just run the ball effectively. Not only did we run the ball effectively, we did it with multiple backs, and that's I feel like that's a perk. So, and that's all praise to the O-line. So, that's pretty much it.
Okay, thanks guys. Thanks,
yep.
We got Pat.
It's really the start of the practice week, man. You know, a lot of things that happen on game day, you know, happens throughout the week during practice, and it starts in practice. So, it really comes from the preparation, then going out on game day and executing.
Red zone defense, you know, obviously the Eagles had a couple things on their end, but you guys still took advantage of it. How much do you feel like it improved from the past couple weeks to today?
You know, in the red zone, we let about two field goals, I think. Give up a touchdown every single time they went down there. But we've been working at it, man. It's been a point of emphasis, you know, to us. And it really just go from, you know, how we start in practice. And we came out here and executed, you know, when it came down to red zone.
Mike, you've been taking, you guys have been taking as a defense as a whole, you guys have been taking this defense, the way that you guys have been playing as taking it personal. How do you build off that? Is this one of those games that you can use as a...
Oh, yeah. You know, you just keep on stacking them. You know, defense, we're a family unit. We're a unit. We stick together. This was a big win for us. And, you know, we got to keep on stacking the days and, you know, get the ball rolling.
Mike, Spags and some of the guys talked about after the Chargers game, there was some communication issues, right, the substitutions and stuff. Where did you guys think you were today?
We got better, you know, but there's always room for improvement. You know, there's always room for improvement. So we're going to keep on, you know, hitting the nail on the head and, you know, getting our communication down. Until we got it down perfect, you know, and keep working at it and improving at it.
So trying week two started now for Frank Clark. How much has he been in your ear trying to offer some motivation or inspiration to start?
Yeah, Frank, great guy, man. He's a mentor, you know, he's a big brother to me, you know. As soon as I got there, he took me in and, you know, always giving me game, you know, increasing my value as a football player, you know, you know, learning from pass rushing, you know, from rundowns to dropping back, you know. He was there for me a lot, you know.
Mike, I know each game we focus on just the one game, right? But with Buffalo coming up, is that one that you, maybe some of the guys have been in the back of your mind, just sort of a mile or?
We're looking forward to it. You know, it's Sunday night, so, you never take for granted Sunday night football. So we're looking forward to the matchup, and we're going to get ready for them.
Mike, are teams doing things that are, given the defense struggling, making you all struggle? I know you were last in the league statistically.
Mm-hmm.
What are these teams doing to you that's making it so hard to
Well, you know, teams game plan throughout the week, man. You know, all we can do is just come out here and do what we're coached to do, you know, execute the things we practice throughout the week. So, you know, teams game plan us, and all we can do is, you know, just contain them and, you know, just continue to keep going, you know, no matter what, whether they game plan us or not, you know. That can't stop us. We shouldn't let that stop us.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, bro.